I want to speak this morning in Sunday school on prayer. You know, the average person, I'm told, only prays 3 to 5 minutes a day. That's a tragedy. People are seen to be so busy. Watch that word busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke, where you don't have time to spend with God. So I want to talk on that. I want to take each letter of the word prayer. I hope I know how to spell it, P-R-A-Y-E-R. Did I do it right? And I want to take each letter and do an acrostic on prayer this morning for Sunday school. What is prayer? First of all, prayer is P, a priority that must become a habit. You know, if prayer is not a habit, it's because it's not a priority. And I want you to take your Bibles and go over there to Daniel, to chapter 6, over there in the book of Daniel, if you will, please. And we find over here the story of Daniel in chapter 6 there, and his and the problems that Daniel went through. And we realize that he knew how to pray. You remember when they went after him? And they were going to do him in. And he just prayed. And with the window open, he just prayed. Why? Because prayer was a priority in his life. I don't want you to take Daniel 6. Excuse me. I want to go to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. Because that's really, so Daniel, he faced some tremendous problems, and they tried to do away with him several times. What do you just pray? But I want you to go over there to chapter 9, because here's some principles on making prayer a priority. If it's going to be a priority, get this. I want you to notice here in verse chapter 9, if you will, please. Prayer must be grounded in the Word of God. It must be grounded in the Word of God. Look here in verse 1 and 2 of Daniel 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm and the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that they would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now let me say this first. Prayer must be grounded in the Word of God. Prayer must be grounded in the Word of God. Notice there, 70 years. You cannot pray for something that is contrary to the Word of God. He knew that 70 years were going to be accomplished no matter what. They could have prayed that day, Lord, we don't want that 70 years to take place. God says it's going to happen. A lot of people pray things that are not found in the Word of God. Do you ever notice that? You can't pray today to be a prophet. You can pray all you want, but it ain't going to answer, right? Why? Because it's not grounded in the Word of God. The Word of God says we don't have prophets today. A woman can pray all she wants to be a pastor. Can she accomplish that? Not in the will of God. It must be grounded in the Word of God. The Bible is where we learn how to pray. So he made a prophecy. And that prophecy is going to come take place. It must be grounded in the Word of God. It must be guided by the will of God. Again, 70 years, he said it's going to take place. He's dealing here with the tribulation and so forth and prophecy. Somebody can pray all they want, there won't be a 7-year tribulation, right? They can pray all they want. What happened? No. Why? Because you got to be guided by the will of God. Down through the years, I've had people come to me. I remember more than one time, and I'm sure Dr. Curalo has in his ministry down the years, people come to me with things they want to get us to approve of. They want our stamp of approval on it. And I've had them say to me, well, I thought you would feel that way. I was looking for someone to agree with me. Because I believe this is what I should do. I said, well, let's go to the will of God. It must be guided in the will of God, grounded in the Word of God and guided by the will of God. You see, you cannot properly pray. Prayer would never be a prayer unless you do with the will of God. Keep that in mind. Third thing, prayer must not be grounded in the Word of God that he prayed about the 70 years. Then the will of God is going to be accomplished. You can pray all you want about things that are just not Bible. It's not going to happen. Prayer is given to those in fellowship with him. Look there in verse 3 and 4. And I set my face into the Lord God, who to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth in ashes. Prayer is given to those who are in fellowship with him. We know that Daniel was in fellowship with the Lord. Look there. In fellowship of, he said, let's read that verse again. I set my face into the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God. Why? He had a relationship with God. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I've started to pray to the Lord, and it is as though there was a cloud. It was as though I couldn't get it any higher than the ceiling. Anybody have that experience? I had to stop and say, Lord, what's wrong with me? There's something in my life that isn't right. And you know what? I have found that when I say that, he reveals it to me. He lets me know, and I have to clean that up. Sometimes God has said, now, when you get through with me, you better go and make right with that person you offended. Whatever it may be. So sometimes we realize we can't have proper prayer life unless you're in fellowship with God. It's obvious from verse 3 and 4 that Daniel was in fellowship. Prayer must be a priority because it becomes that habit, grounded in the Word, guided by the will, given to those in fellowship with God, and granted to the humble. Some people, I'd like to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. I'd be rich. You'd be rich, because thankfully they aren't humble. If you're going to go to God in prayer, he needs to notice, if you will, there are three names he'll use for the Lord here. Look at verse 3. And I set my face into the Lord. That's the word Adonai. He's our master, isn't he? You don't go to God as though you're the master. I have two cats. There are sometimes I like to get rid of them. There's a big difference between a cat and a dog. You know that, don't you? A dog looks at his master, look at his owner and says, you're my master. A cat looks at his owner and says, I'm your master. And sometimes we have that cat in us. We want to be the master. But he is the master. That's the word Adonai. It was a capital L, a little O, a little R, a little D. And then notice in verse 4, so he came, he said, you're my master. That's humility. And I prayed unto the Lord. That's the all capital there, and that's Jehovah. He's our mediator. Oh, I'm glad he's my mediator. I'm thankful that I can go to him in prayer. And then the word God, of course, Elohim, he's our maker. Everything about what we have and are, because he owns it all. He's master. He made it. Everything about me. Everything about you. So, priority must become a habit. Prayer must become a habit, a priority in your life. It'll only be when you're grounded in the Word, guided by the will. Can't do it without being in fellowship, given grounded in fellowship and granted to the humble. I had a fellow come to me one time, and he was just bragging away about his ministry. I hate that. He was going to let me know how big his church was. So I asked him, I said, well, he talked about his son. He said, we had over nearly 1,000 this morning. I said, well, good. What'd you have Sunday night? Only had a couple hundred. Something was wrong there. And I said to him, I'd like to pat you on the back, but your hand's in the way. Because sometimes we fail to realize anything we have is given to us. So priority must be a priority. Second, I want you to know, what time am I to be through here? 9:15? Yeah, okay. All right. Priority, R, relying more on God than yourself. Go to Psalm 5. I love Psalm 5. Go to it, if you will, please. Go back to the old, go back to Psalm there, or forward from there, or back from Psalm, I'll get it right. Psalm 5 is a wonderful, tremendous psalm here. Look there, if you will, please, here in verse 1-3. Give ear to my word, to my words. Now, how many have a hearing problem? My hearing aids don't always work. Now, Marilyn thinks it's on purpose. She thinks I have selective hearing. And sometimes when somebody, I want to hear what I cup my ear. I want to, Lord, are you hearing me? That's the idea here, that word. Give ear to my words. Lord, don't miss anything I say to you. Don't miss anything I say to you. Because you see, I need to rely on you more than I do myself. And prayer must not only be a priority, but it must rely more on God than yourself. I see a holy boldness. Oh, he said, Lord, I don't know how you talk to the Lord, but sometimes with just me and him, I have a good time. I get a little bold. And I think you can get bold. As long as you say reverence, you can get bold in prayer. And I've said to the Lord sometimes, Lord, will you listen to me? Be sure you hear every word. And one time I said, Marilyn's not listening to me, but I know you will. That right, Jesse? She doesn't always listen, but God will, right? Holy boldness. Just cup your ear and make your, you know, how important that is. I see a whole heavenly bird. Go back again to our Psalm 5. Look there with me, please. I just lost it here. I'll get back to it. I know Dr. Curalo, he's so sharp, he doesn't do all those dumb things, but I do it all the time in prayer, preaching. I want you to notice here a heavy burden. Look there in verse 2. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for thee will I pray. He's got a burden. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I've gone to God with a burden, my heart is just so heavy that all I can say is, Lord, help me. Help me. Now, I don't know if that doesn't sound very deep, does it? But he knows the depths of my heart. And I cry unto the Lord, and handicapped daughter was born. I just cried unto the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. I don't know how to get through this. But you know. And I just said, help. I said it. I was walking while I was praying. I don't know how many times I said, Lord, help me, help me. And all of a sudden, as though God put his arms around me. So he knew I had a heavy burden. Then I see not only in that passage a holy boldness. You listening, Lord? A heavy burden. But I see here a heavenly blessing. Look there as he prayed. My voice shall thou hear when? In the morning. I hope when you wake up, don't wake up with yourself. Don't wait. How many have woken up grumpy? Grumpy. I'll get the word out. Grumpy. It's like the fellow said, I woke up grumpy. Tomorrow morning I'm going to let her sleep. That's not quite what it means here as I'm thinking about it. Okay? You woke up grumpy. I have found I need to get along with God because I'm not the person to meet with in the morning. I'm to meet with God. So priority followed by relying and then A, asking God to do what you cannot do. Asking God to do what you can. Go to the book of Luke. Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke 11:9-10. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and it shall be found. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, shall be opened. Ask. Personally, get involved in your prayer. Listen, make sure your prayer is definite. Get definite in your prayer. I pray so much for my brother to be saved. I want him saved. I ask definitely. I pray for this church. I pray definitely for your pastor, for the people, for the blessings. I just received a call yesterday from pastor in Buffalo Ridge. I did an interim there, and I got familiar with a friend of mine, Larry Russell. Well, we got to be good friends. Matter of fact, he kept admiring my tie that I sent it to him. And 5 years ago, I was there in that interim to do the funeral of their daughter who was killed in an automobile accident. Yesterday, Larry died, only in his 60s. Man, I personally went to him crying out, Lord, help Carol. She's lost a daughter. Now she's lost a husband. We know where they're at. We don't often like to say we lost something. We lost a loved one because we know where they're at. But it's going to be a real difficult time for her. So he said, ask. I'm asking personally, Lord, give her peace. I couldn't give it to her. Pastor Herdman, the pastor there, can't give it to her, but God can. When your first wife passed on, God had to give you the peace. Only God can give that. You know, you got family, you got a grandson here. You got Dan, you got others, but they can't give you what only God can give you. So ask personally. Get involved in that. Seek patiently. Oh, I've been praying for my brother for at least 60-something years to be saved. And I believe God's going to save him. First time I sat down with him, he said, John, I'm not interested in this stuff. I don't believe any of it. You know what he says to me lately? He says, I bought him a Bible. He says, reading it. God's speaking to him. You know why? Because you patiently. You ask, that's personally. You seek patiently. And certainly you thank the Lord. And knock persistently. I just keep asking God the same thing every day. Lord, save his soul. Now, I pray for my wife every day. My wife wants to go home to be with the Lord. You've been there. That's hard. Because I need her. She means much to me. But she's not well. And God has a time for all of us. Amen? And so we priority. Make it a priority. Are relying on the Lord. Ask God to do what you can't do. I can't save my brother. Only God can. Only God can. I had a lady come to me one time. She's going to get baptized that night, and she says, my husband's going to be here, and he doesn't believe in anything. Would you pray for him? And I prayed for him. And he came that night, and I said, glad to have you here. Talked to him for a while. And I said, I hope to see you again. He says, you'll never see me again, preacher. I don't believe a word you said here tonight. I grabbed him. No, don't do this. I grabbed him by the shirt. I said, you're afraid to come back because you're afraid of God. He said, I'll see you Sunday. This was on a Wednesday night. He showed up on Sunday, and I worked with him for 3 months. And he walked into the church one day, and he said, well, I get it. I said, what did you do? He said, you know what I did. Don't tell me. He said, I got saved. Amen. But I'm not going to carry a Bible. He comes the next Sunday. It looked like a suitcase. The Bible was so big. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. You can give him all the theology you want, but unless the Holy Spirit of God works, that ain't going to do anything. Asking. Why? Yielding to God's will. Now, there are five ways that God answers prayer. Have you thought about that? I believe there are five ways God answers prayer. Sometimes it's very direct. I pray for people, and before I say amen, God's already answered the prayer. Sometimes it's different. You ever pray for something, preacher, and it was the way God answered it was completely different than the way you prayed it? You know, sometimes I'm also say, after God does it different, I say, Lord, thank you, you didn't do it my way. Sometimes it's delayed. My brother, it's been a delay. And sometimes it's denied. He just says no. There are times in my life when I said, Lord, thank you that you didn't answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord. I get a little Baptistical about it. Thank you, Lord. Because if you answered the prayer the way I prayed it, I'd be in trouble. I would have pastored the wrong church. I'd have done the wrong thing, gone to the wrong, all kinds of things. So you need to have a priority, relying on his answer, asking God to do what you cannot do, yielding to God's will. What time is it? And entering into God's world. You know what prayer is? You know there are three worlds. Three worlds. There's the physical world. When I drive up here, I enjoy the scenery. Honey, I don't know if you're tuning in on the... Are you online here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, honey, if you're here, I made it safely. A couple times, a little over 80 mile an hour. But I enjoyed the physical world. The beauty of the drive is good. Another week, I'll probably go to to Tennessee to see for the funeral this good friend that passed on. Although I don't believe in funerals, these are graduation services. Oh, absent body, home with the Lord. There's the physical world. There's a fallen world. You know, the world today is so corrupt. Now, I understand, and I'm not trying to get political, but if I do, that's your problem, not mine. I am glad that we got a good president. But he ain't saved, as far as I know. But until he gets saved, he's not going to do the things God wants him to do. I'm praying for him. I pray for our former president. He needs to be saved. And so we realize here the world is fallen. You know, it's a fallen world we live in. It's not going to get any better. I know that President Trump keeps talking about the golden age. The golden age is only going to come when Jesus Christ sets up his millennial. Amen? It's the only time we're going to have a golden age. So we have here a physical world, a fallen world, but we have the Father's world. And when you go to prayer, you leave everything else alone. You don't think about the fallen world. You go to his world. Prayer is leaving the fallen world, and going into the Father's world to get what is needed to face the challenges of the physical world. You got challenges. Is anybody here doesn't have any issues in life? You have no problems? You're just in good shape? I think we all have something going on. We have family. We may not be doing what we think they ought. On and on goes the list. Entering into God's world, prayer is entering into his world. There's a few times when I've gotten the prayer and I said, "Now, Lord, I've been thinking about supper. What's Mary going to prepare for supper?" I said, "Lord, that's stupid. I'm in prayer, Lord. Forgive me." It's mainly, I want to give him my total attention. It's entering into God's world. Seek ye the things which are where? Above. It's resting in God's and all that he is. Prayer. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've never walked away from prayer that I didn't feel different. I mean, I feel rested. I leave all those things there and prayer, and then I just leave them, walk away from them, and say, "Lord, thank you, what you're going to do." Go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, if you will, please. Look with me at verse 28, 29, and 30. Let's read it first. "Come to me, unto me, all ye that labor and what? Are heavy laden. And I'll give you what?
Rest."
It's resting in God and all that he is. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now I want you to notice the source of exhaustion here. He says here in verse 28, "Come to me, all labor and are heavy laden." Oh, heavy burden. You go to God and you say, "Lord, my burdens are heavy." I don't know how many times I've told God, it's heavy burden, Lord. "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy burden." That's the source of exhaustion. Then notice the seat of exhaustion. Notice this. Where is that burden? Where is that? Look down at verse 29. Take my yoke on you and learn me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest where? Your soul. That's where your feelings, your emotions, that's where your thinking is. You need rest there. So we find here the seat. Now listen, if you've got a heavy burden and you don't take it to the Lord, you can go to bed and sleep 10, 12 hours, wake up, be just as tired as when you went to bed. Because it's not your physical being, it's your soul that's exhausted and can't handle the burdens. So it's a source of exhaustion is the heavy load you carry. The seat is in your soul. But the solution. He says, take notice here. Let's go back to the verse here. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what do you mean by that? Now, you know what a yoke was. A yoke is, I didn't say joke. I said yoke now. They put it on two animals and bind them together. And they would do this with a very mature yoke, oxen, and yoking with a little oxen. They're trying to teach him things. And the little guy would learn from the big guy. Now, I don't want to call God a big guy, amen? But he is bigger than you and me. And he will teach us and we'll learn. We'll learn what we need to know to handle the burdens of life. So let me just say this again. What is prayer? Make prayer a priority that will become a habit. Sometimes I'll get in my car and I got to go someplace and I'll spend time in prayer. But the older I get, the less I do that because I need to be more alert. I can understand my problem. I'm only 38. I guess that's 83 with the numbers turned backwards, isn't it? But find that place, a priority. Make it someplace. I have a little room, a room that I go to. Close everybody else out. Say, Lord, I need to talk to you. I need you this morning. You're my priority. Prayer is be guided. Prayer is relying more on God than yourself. That's what prayer. If you don't pray, it's because you think you can do it yourself. When you get Dr. Curala's age and my age, you're going to find that does not work. That just doesn't work. You can't do it yourself. I remember when I was young, could do so many things I can't do now. I think the older you get, the more you know you need him because you're soon going to meet him. Soon going to meet him. Sometimes it's hard to admit you're getting old, isn't it? I remember when I was doing those interims, did 13 of them in 12 years. I remember about the fourth or fifth interim. At the close of the service, I was greeting people, and the lady walked up to me and she said, you know, we'd love to have you be our pastor if you weren't so old. I didn't have a cane in that day, but if I had it, I think I ought to use it. But it dawned on me, you're getting old. Whether you like it or not, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to need him. You're going to need to rely more and more on him. It's asking God to do what you can't do. God is in the business of doing the impossible. But we got to do it God's way. Yielding to God's will, whatever it is. Either he'll answer that prayer direct, different, delayed, denied, he'll do it one way or the other. Enter into God's world. You got to listen. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I need to spend more time preparing to meet that God of heaven face to face. It's resting in God. Resting in him. Good night's sleep. And I don't know about Dr. Carolla, but I take a nap every afternoon. You take a nap? Good. I'll make sure he does that. Yeah. Now, I only take about a 20. I don't know what you take, but that's all I need, about a 20. It's a power nap. Of course, when I get up, I still don't have the power physically. But I'm thankful for the nap. But rest in him. Because we got a lot of things to do for the Lord. I love this church. I love the Curallos and everybody else in this room. Dr. Curallo, of course, Jesse and Ashley. Particularly Miriam and Ezra. Are they okay?
Doing well. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for our time this morning, and may you take these thoughts and musings for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.